Blog Talk Radio.
In the wonderful Word of God, the psalmist wrote in chapter 27, verse 5, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Psalms 91 and 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty."
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. We feel blessed tonight to bring you the book, The Woolly Worm, by the author, Sister Bobbie Lively, a.k.a. Rapping Granny, a.k.a. Lyrical Lively. So many people tonight have no electricity and have lost everything they own due to the Hurricane Ian. I have never in my life witnessed the water in the Gulf Coast to be just gone. For miles, you could see nothing but the ocean floor exposed for all to see. The damage to property will take years to replace, if at all. We all know that it rains on the just and the unjust, but the wildfires, volcanic eruptions, tornadoes, and the unusual things of the last few years, like straight-line winds, thunder snow, and freezing fog, all seem to be on the increase with much more intensity. All the while, you can actually look at the ice melting in the Arctic that has been there for generations. On top of this, the government is trying to take God out of everything to include Christian conversation, while promoting other so-called religions. Bad is being called good, and good is called bad. In our government, we have seen in history how that men of character stepped up to be counted for others. I'm sorry, my screen keeps changing on me. Bear with me. These men displayed what was great in our nation. Now we just have a bunch of characters that are just a form of the people that represented us before. Unfortunately, these people also represent where the people of this nation are right now in their thinking and living. Nature and creatures like the woolly worm have been affected by changes in our air quality and chemicals, but they still are who they were created and designed by God to be. They adapt, but do not compromise. As we get ready to get into chapter 12 of this book, ask yourself, with all of the changes in this world, are you still following the plan God has established for you? You can ask questions or make a comment at the end of the show tonight when we place you on the air. And, boy, this is not cooperating. Blog Talk Mom, how are you
doing? Well,
tonight?
Hello. I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing
can
pretty
hear?
Good. I can hear you.
Okay, I've got a set up here so that I bought a little bar, and you can put your phone on it, and it just looks so updated. I'm really excited about it, but, you know, it does matter whether you can hear me or not. And I do want to thank you and Wild Bill for allowing me to do this again. And I was privileged to have a call, a text from my daughter, Joy Bells, and she is the one that should get all the accolades for the original book. She certainly encouraged me and taught me how to use the computer and the writer's help in NaNoWriMo. That I would recommend that to anyone, because if it could work with me, it could work with anyone, and maybe everyone would need that, but it was excellent. And so I do want to thank her. And she was going night-night, and so I texted her and told her what I was going to be doing. And this particular chapter, for what we're all going through and for what you read about and mentioned at the beginning of the program, there's confusion. There's a lot of different strong ideas and opinions and confrontations. So aren't we thankful that God has the answers? And chapter 12, that's the title of chapter 12. God has the answers. And he predestined the woolly worm to do exactly what he did, but he still had a choice, oddly enough, even as a little woolly worm, and he could still be hindered. But we need to go to the Word of God with all of our heart. And I was speaking with Joy Bells earlier today, and a situation came up in my life that I think I was more in the protective mode than I was in the anger mode. When you deal with people that have a record of being very mean to other people, then sometimes you get very, very defensive, or I do, after a period of time. And she really helped me to see that there are things that come up in our life, but that's God's business. And when we talk this little bit that we talk about, this wonderful George Washington Carver, the things that came into that man's life and how everything turned into absolute light and joy and giving, and I want to be that way. And I know I cannot, unless I realize that God has the answers. We can't get ahead of God and put our hand on something. We've got our definite description as a Christian, the fruit that should come forth from every one of us is the same that came into the world when God said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Was the world going to be good to him? Oh, no. Was the world going to turn and do every physical thing they could right up to his death and mockery? Yes. But he overcame. And we can overcome in every situation if we keep our eyes on him. And God has the answers. Also, a lady in the church sent me a link to a minister that is one of my favorites. You've had him on this program before, Brother Raymond Woodward. He's a pastor. And he has three different sermons on God has the last word. That is so wonderful. I listened to number three today. And God has the last word. We're not going to be left in a lurch. I mean, if we keep our eyes on him, in his word, and follow him, it's going to work. It cannot fail. And so I do thank each of you for helping me, and anyone that prays for the broadcast. I've asked several people that it will come across like God would want it to come across, that it's not just my thoughts or something that I thought was really a neat thing to do. I really believe it was led by the Spirit of God. And I want to bring out how this young man, he was a baby, just a little, I think he was 6 weeks old. And it was during the time of slavery. And he was, his mother and his dad had just passed away from some type of accident. And these raiders, slave raiders, came in and grabbed up his mother, his name Mary, grabbed her up, and she had the little baby just wrapped up in a bundle, 6 weeks old. And they took her, and when they saw the baby, what it was, they took it, threw it back down to the ground. But the wonderful Christian people that owned all of that, the land, and gave home to those slaves, took him in, raised him, and the wife took them, even though they couldn't go to, at any time, they were not going to be allowed to go to a public school. She taught them to read, and she taught them the Word of God. And, oh, how we see the results of that endeavor. And one of the sweetest experiences of my life would be the times that I have been privileged to work with children that were in special education. And through some of the things that God has shown me for myself, sharing it with them, they went back into their school 4 to 5 grades above where they were. And we have so many opportunities, and we do know that God always has the answer. So, Sister Starla, if you want me to get started, I will. And if not, I'll be quiet a minute.
Floor is yours. Put the mic.
Yes. Okay. Now, in this situation, I highly recommend anyone that finds interest in this to go ahead, go to Wikipedia. You can Google his name, and you can find out the biography and all the other miraculous things that are connected to his life. I'm going to start at the very beginning. But ask now, this is a scripture in Job, the 12th chapter, 7 through 8. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. So I must say, so we must include the woolly worm. I love to read biographies, and one of my very favorite biographies is The Life of George Washington Carver. He said, and I quote, "When I was young, I said to God, 'God, tell me the mystery of the universe.' But God answered, 'That knowledge is for me alone.' So I said, 'Okay, God, tell me the mystery of the peanut.' Then God said, 'Well, George, that's more nearly your size.' But he was not being mean or cutting him back, because what he was going to show him about the peanut changed the whole world. Here are just a few of the things that were invented from the peanut because of this prayer. There were cosmetics. He was the one that used the glycerin cream antiseptic soap, baby massage cream, face bleach, tanning, removers of kinds, face creams, lotions, and ointments, face powders, fat-producing cream, and there were beverages. They were just like ice cream. He had blackberry punch, evaporated peanut beverage, cherry punch, normal peanut beverage flakes, peanut lemon punch, peanut orange punch, number one, and peanut. That were just a few of them. I'll get into some more when I turn the page. But when God began to work with this young man, again, he had been taught to read, taught the Word of God, taught to believe in God. If any person could have grown up with bitterness, anger, resentment, he was qualified, but it was not there, ever. Everything he did, his motive, and he told it, was to help, to bless, to strengthen, and to make this world a better place. Happened to him would not happen again. So I want to read a few more of these things that I know it's just a little few compared to what all is involved, but I find it fascinating that in the cosmetics, he was the inventor of glycerin. Now, all of this comes from peanuts. Hand lotion, oil for hair and scalp, peanut oil shampoo, pomade for scalps, shampoo, shaving cream, dandruff cure, toilet soap. And then he was able to take the peanuts, the hulls and whatever, and what he did, he God led him how to make up food for animals. And it was amazing that what he put together, like for hens, they began to, they would lay eggs and they would be healthier and stronger and just because of this food that he would make up. And he made up all kinds of feed. They also used sweet potatoes. That was another thing that he used. So he made up this stock food and from the hulls and different things that God led him to show him how to do. Now, the greatest thing at his life at that point was crop rotation. The Bible plainly teaches that the land is to have a Sabbath. It's supposed to be every there you plant and you do all that you do for 6 years, then you let the land rest. And this is actually taught, but they stopped doing it. And so God told him to tell them, and in America, they didn't do it here either, and they would plant cotton and plant all their crops, and then the land would get so depleted that it would just be horrible. Then they couldn't grow anything. So come the resentment, the all of the reasons that it would not work to stay true, because he knew that God had the answer. And when he got it so that the people would cooperate with it, they would have bumper crops. And when I say bumper, I mean that's over the top when they would do it the correct way, like God had the answer all along. And so many times, and I can admit this about myself, confess it, and ask God for forgiveness, but a lot of our illnesses are simply because we do not eat, drink, do what we know we should. Even fasting, if it's done spiritually and properly, is one of the healthiest things that we can do. It cleanses our system, and there's a way to do that also. So George had to overcome the same things that we and everyone has to overcome. But God gave him power when he would pray. And that prayer blessed not only him, but everyone. He had a servant's heart. God could bless him. You know why? Because he would persevere. George Washington Carver pioneered crop rotation methods in the United States, as I just mentioned. I want to read this portion in the book. He taught Southern farmers to rotate soil-depleting crops like cotton with other things with soil enriching crops like peanuts and sweet potatoes. God has the answers, and the story is told how he had a very sincere desire to help southern farmers prove anything. It wasn't trying to exalt himself in any way. He wanted to help. He wanted to rebound from the ravages of the Civil War and years of the soil being depleted by the planting of cotton. He couldn't get away from the idea that the answer could be found in peanuts and sweet potatoes. God had laid that on his heart. He knew that God had the answer, and he knew that God was leading him to this conclusion. I want to read this. It's from Leviticus, the 25th chapter, 1 through 5. God spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, telling him to speak to the Israelites and say to them, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." Now listen. "In Mount Sinai, saying, Children of Israel, we have the authority and the power and the privilege." And when God tells us something, speaks to us, gives us ears to hear. Now, this is me speaking. Then we have our call to speak to others and say, and this is back to the scripture, "When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land." And I want to go ahead and insert my thoughts on this, but I'm thinking about it, because we all need a Sabbath. We need to rest. Rest in the Lord. We are to take God's word, to shut ourselves in with him. And again, recall when Jesus was praying three times, he knew he was facing the hideousness of everything they were going to do to him. He went to his disciples and he said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And I've read that, I cannot tell you how many times, but this week it has just been so sweetly spoken to my heart from the Lord. Watch. That doesn't mean stand at the door and look out. That means be a watchman. The Bible says about that. That means looking through the eyes of the Lord, walking like he wants us to walk, talking like he wants us to talk, responding, as I mentioned earlier, with the love that he had responded to me with, and never forget that. So it goes on to say, "That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap." So if he looks out and if it grows anyway, don't reap that. Leave it. Just leave it. Let the land rest. So modern day Israel has not followed the command except for just a few of them. Now we can see pictures of the times that they did not, and it was absolutely a dust heap. And then you can see pictures when they did, and it was the most beautiful arrangement of every, in fact, they sold flowers to Holland. I mean, it was, still is, beautiful. God knows. He knows. He's got the answers. So we have to have ears to listen. And then to share that with others. One famous story, and it's in the Wikipedia, was about a village, and I can't really pronounce the name of it. It's Komemiyut. Komemiyut. Sounded pretty good, didn't it? And it was during the 1952 Shamata. And the village was one of the few who refrained. They did not work the land that year. And at the end of the Shamata, farmers searching for seed to plant could only find this inferior seed. These people that had honored the time, they couldn't find anything. It was rotten. But Rabbi Mendelssohn advised them, sow it anyway. And this is what he said. The Almighty who causes wheat to sprout from good seed will bless your inferior seed as well. That was from the Lord. He spoke. They obeyed, and even though it was 3 months after the other villages had planted their fields, and the fall's rain, the rain didn't come like it was supposed to. It was late. But they went ahead. And as a result, the neighboring villages had a meager harvest, while the village of Kamimiat, who sowed from the old way, again, had a bumper crop over the top. I love that. I may have to wrap that. Some people may not know what that means, but it went together. So this was copied, as I mentioned, from Wikipedia. Mr. Carver has been quoted as saying, and I love this, I begin each day with an earnest prayer. This is his words. His prayer is that God will reveal to me the secrets of the flowers, plants, soil, and even the weeds. Why do I want God to reveal these to me? This is what his words, so that I can help put more food in the bellies of the hungry. I can put more clothing on the backs of the naked. I can get better shelter over the heads of the homeless. Isn't that beautiful? So you will, as you're listening to me, you will be greatly inspired if you study this great man's life story. What made him great? Did he have opposition? Oh yes. 30 miles somewhere during, I haven't read the story in a long time, but to get any kind of help, there was just nowhere to get any training or anything. But God would open the door and put him in with someone that would, but he had more information from God than they had, so they would get together with him and certainly go forward. He had an excuse to fail. Can't you just imagine? Well, he had it. He could have just been the lowliest person ever, and he'd say, well, you don't know what happened to me. Well, you don't know what I went through. How many times do we do that? Let's don't do that, ever. Let's don't say what we heard on the news or what. I did that this week. And what you hear on this and what you hear on that. Well, what did I hear when I read the Word of God? I read that all things are going to work together for my good if I love the Lord and if I'm called according to his promise, according to his word, according to his plan, because he has the answers. Isn't that wonderful? George Washington Carver's testimony, Christian faith. He said, I never have to grope for methods. The method is revealed at the very moment I'm inspired to create something new. Without God to draw aside the curtain, I would be helpless. I'd like to insert my test, as I've mentioned several times. I was born at the time of World War I, World War II, the Great Depression, all of those things. And I look back more as I look back through time to see the mercy that God had for me and the tremendous limitations. I may get to that later on in this chapter. But God was there. God has the answers. But all through history, from creation until now, he has to search out someone that will hear and that will heed what they are. But do we know what they are? That's up to us. It says in Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought, this is the words of God, I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. so that I would not destroy it. But what does he say? But I couldn't find anyone. I found none. Tomorrow when we wake up, as God looks for someone to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, be that one that will love in spite of everything and give and search the word of God with our heart, time, that hour of prayer, will we be that one? That's up to us. That is our choice. It doesn't seem very hard to imagine all of us as lowly as a worm. Job 25:6, how much less man that is a worm? I think they should have an "is" in there. And the son of man, which is a worm, Job 25:6. What is the man that thou art mindful of him? Just think about it. But who are we that God would visit us? He certainly visits, young man. When I first read about how he was taken from his mother, thrown down just like he was worthless, and from that, all the creativity, all of the things that he did to help all of humanity. I've yet to find two people that agree on everything, and I think this is humorous in a way. The questions that we have are frightening. Now, God said, if I find any two that agree as touching anything, it'll work. Well, that ought to tell us a lot. It's sort of difficult. But a lot of it is in the way we say it, our vocabulary. We may even mean the same thing. There was a little funny to write down, little bitty funny stories to introduce when I was especially working with teenagers. And one of them was, I saw my vacuum the other day. And everybody looks at me and I say, well, all it was doing was collecting dust. Well, duh. That's what it was supposed to do. But if I wasn't using it, it was collecting dust in a different way. And those are thought-provoking things that we can, my point is, we can read the same scripture. We can be reading about the same subject and just go two opposite directions. So this is what prayer does. This is what seeking God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added to us. When I moved to Mississippi, I had never been in a hurricane. Sister Starla mentioned the horrors of it, and it's just horrible. But Katrina was my experience. I could not have visualized the anger, anxiety, just horror that was surrounding everybody. I want to read this that I had put in here because sometimes I can't recall everything, but there was no air conditioning, no water, no lights, no phones. Everyone was confused. People were coming in from the coast. They would bang on my car, hit my car, wanting me to give them something, which I didn't have anything. And I gave what I had. And there were lines of vehicles trying to get some type of gasoline. One young man literally killed his sister over a gallon of water. And it was just, I couldn't even ever dream of that kind of, it was just explosive. You could just barely touch any situation and it would just explode. People were just, there was no calmness. Anywhere you turn, there were but one place there was. And I'll always remember that even though I didn't know which way to go or what to do, when I prayed, He is an ever-present help in time of need. It is a beautiful thing to know our God. This scripture, I don't know if I read it a while ago, I want to read it again if I did. Be careful or anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's yielding to God, and using thanksgiving, praising him we let our requests be made known unto God. And then there is a peace, not like the world gives. It's a peace of God which it will pass all understanding. And that peace has a way of keeping our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus. Read that in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. We don't have to be anxious. And we have that loving, you know, we're actually engraved in the palm of his hand. And he holds us and loves us and will take care of us. So we don't have to allow ourselves to be anxious. So if I make this sound easy, forgive me. It's not easy. I apologize. It requires everything, everything devoted to God. I'd heard the story, and maybe you have, about the man that had two dogs that fought all the time. And the neighbor said, well, who usually wins? He said, the one I feed the most. And if we feed the negative, the anger, the spite, all of that, if we feed that, it's going to overcome. But if we feed upon the Word of God and his presence and worship, it will always win. It's a winner anyway, but we've got to know it. We've got to put it in action in our own life. There was a interesting thing. When the little caterpillar, the last instar, when he goes into the chrysalis or the cocoon, it is absolutely peaceful. When he goes into it, he literally turns to liquid. After he creates the cocoon, he is completely liquid, and then he begins to change into whatever, which would be the, in my book, the golden hooded moth. And when we take our anxieties, our unforgiveness, and I witnessed that in the last couple of weeks, we take it to the Lord through his spirit, changes everything. How we feel, how we react, how we respond. And then we can be used in the kingdom of God and be what God says. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Some of my earliest memories, I guess I was about 3 years of age. There were a lot of tragedies in my life. There are in almost everybody's life. But I was hospitalized several times from different kinds of diseases that epidemics that were hitting at children during that time, after the war, and there were just so many horrible things. But I didn't really feel impoverished, or I felt loved, but there was always a presence around me that made me afraid. I was so afraid. There was like fear. And I would have nightmares, and I would wake up screaming. And I can remember them. I can vividly remember, even though it's been close to 80 years, the every form and every part of the dreams. Now, I'm saying that to say that even though when we're born and we have terrible things happen to us and it causes reactions like nightmares and whatever, there is a place in those dreams that I can remember knowing that God was with me. I didn't understand it at 2 and 3 years old, but I knew there was a presence. And one time I went into the living room that went, not in the dream, but actually in my home, and there was a curtain over the window, and I crawled between the curtain and the window. And I looked out. And no one told me to do it. I just did it. And when I did, I felt what I know was the presence of Almighty God. And it changed. It was the balance that I needed to take me until the next experiences of my life. And I'm adding a lot of different things in here, but I pray that you read the book and you do get other things. After I took my different courses and realized that I had a type of autism, and it made a lot of sense with the dreams and with the different things that happened, but those things are my strengths. after I came to God, you know, I really totally surrendered my life to God. Those were the things God anointed to help me work in situations with puppets, with even with the rap, to help some understand that might not have understood if they didn't have those prompts. So I want to read the scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. I love this. But the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Okay, warfare, but we've got weapons. We've got the whole armor of God. And, okay, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those things in my early life, they were strongholds. And God helped me through his word and through his presence to cast down every wicked imagination and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And it brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I actually did not even realize till way later on in my Christian life exactly how many things that the enemy tried to put into my imaginations, into different parts of my way of thinking. And in counseling, you see that so much that people are, they're like locked in to certain types of thought patterns, and God wants to deliver them. They're not, they don't have to be captive. Set us free, make us free. Now, I like to be set free. If my foot was caught in something, I'd want somebody to come, you know, help me, set me free. But what I really like is when I'm just a person, a big clump of clay, and the Almighty God's hand takes a hold of me and molds me and makes, ooh, hallelujah, into what he wants me to be and has always wanted me to be. I love to be made, and the Bible says, into the image of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. I want to mention again that with some of the things that happened in my early childhood, was one very sad thing was my dad had tuberculosis, and he had to be in a sanatorium, and mother worked in this ammunition plant during World War II. But she hired this lady. The lady couldn't read. She couldn't. She was just a pitiful little lady. But she didn't have a place to stay, so she stayed with us, and she helped cook and take care of my brother and myself, and it made a home for her. There were so many things that God put into our life during that time to know that we were not the only ones that were left without anything. When we left the flooded area, it was one of the most, that time that Arkansas River flooded, I couldn't believe to come back and find that much mud and destruction in our house. But you know what? My mom got a hold of that. That little lady that was working with her, and it was no time till it was just as clean, if not better, than it had ever been. There would be a lot of different things that took place, but God brought us through every one of them with a mother that, like I mentioned in the previous chapters, that had a determination beyond anything I even recognized at the time. But looking back, I'm so grateful and thankful. And for my dad, one of the hardest workers that I've ever known. So everything, we have hope, we have faith. So I want to skip over here to when I reflect over my entire life, I'm thankful that God has used each and every experience, even if it was good or bad, to come together in the balance of making it well. It did not leave me spiritually, mentally, or Sister Star, I may get a couple of people trying to call in, but and I do know, and I will admit this, that I'm very sorry that my children were born during the time of my caterpillar stage, and they had to see and hear a lot of things that the Lord helped me to get out of. And there's a, that I think Virgil Roman, the poem, as the twig is bent, the tree inclines, So I know that some of the things that I still did, some of the anger, some of the situations of depression, had to affect my family and my children. But I know that they rose above that also, and they taught me so many things that I needed to know. And I appreciate them very much, like this book. This was amazing. So when we're born, we do not remain in an infant stage, but we were sort of in bondage to a lot of the experiences. So this is what God says: you must be born again. And then we can take on the image of Christ. We do not have to remain an infant after we're born again. We can grow in Christ. As an adult, if we look for an excuse for our situations, by blaming all of the things that happened in our childhood, we defeat ourselves. Begin at the beginning when we're born again. And the Bible says literally everything that we have ever done before we were born again, God justifies us, and that's justified, never done it. We do never have to let the enemy ever, the enemy of our soul, push us around, push us down, and put negative influences all around us, because God has given us hope, faith, and love. There was a gentleman, he did a lot of our youth services. His name is Lloyd Squires, Reverend, and he is he's remarkable for a redemptive life. When I was in the Arctic, I mostly was focused on the young people there who really were not part of the school where we were sent there to work with 13 different leaders from 13 different islands. But as I had my opportunity to be with the young people, I showed a DVD where Brother Squires gave his testimony. The misuse, the mistrust, everything that happened to that young man, I've never heard anything to compare with it. But he came out of it victorious in every way and a powerful minister to young people. After the children watched it, and they were teenagers and younger, after they watched it, we sang a song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," forward. And hours later, they were still weeping and still praying. Great deliverances came to a lot of abusive situations that came to the surface and could be dealt with. It was just wonderful. So really, all that had happened horrible to this man, to this minister who was not a minister, Brother Squires, until after that, naturally, became a tool that God could use to bless all of these children totally out of the United States. Didn't know anything about it, but one service, God could use it. So what is in your life now, right now? What experiences have you had that God can use to show others He's a way maker. He's a need supplier. He's a mind regulator. And He knows all of the answers and knows the way. So share your testimony every opportunity. There's a scripture in John 9 and 6. It says, when we're talking about God having an answer to every situation, in this situation, talking about Jesus, when he had thus spoken, he was preaching and teaching, Jesus spit on the ground. He just spit. Spat is what the Bible actually, the word. And then he picked up the mud or the clay that the spit was all over, so he must have spit a lot. And he begins to mold it, and he anoints the eyes of a blind man. He takes this clay, this wet clay, his spit, and he anoints the eyes of this blind man. Think about that. God can take whatever he chooses. If we will go to him and believe and have faith, that blind man was no longer blind. And if we think we're blind, it doesn't have to be in our eyes. It can be in a lot of situations. God will make a way. It says here, all of the concerns that we have can be healed when we take them to Jesus. But we must take them with a sincere heart. Someone said that if you want Jesus to heal your broken heart, be sure to give him all the pieces. Going to church in my earlier life, it was sort of spasmodic with my mom and dad and my brother and myself, but my mom and dad knew God. Now, I don't know all the circumstances that was in their childhood or their life. I think some of it that happened with my father's father, who was a pedophile, was, you know, was a very tragic situation. But they did not really go to church, not consistently, but sometimes. But they loved God. They were baptized, and towards the end of their life, they completely surrendered in every way to the Lord. So occasionally, when we would visit churches, they didn't really want to join it and take part of it, but you would see God do a deep and beautiful work. And I would feel so happy. One time we went and visited one of my dad's brothers that was a pastor, and all of his daughters, they were playing music and guitars and singing all kinds of beautiful songs. And I just stood there. They tried to get me to sing with them, but I just couldn't. Well, then later on, when I learned about the Asperger, and I learned how you can want to do something, but you just can't enter into the realm of where it's being done. But that was not something that kept me for all of my days, because God made it possible for me to enter in and sing. And he knew my heart's deepest desire was to share the word of God, to share it, to make it remembered, and to do it in a way that was exciting and entertaining. And so he gave me the rap. And people still, it is so amusing when they want to know where I rap, but not music, but some other way. But, oh, it's just such a blessing. God won't leave you out on the curb. If you want it, he desires to let you feel very happy about it and get your part of it. There was, I guess I was around 12, I don't know, maybe not that old, but we did visit my other uncle that was pastor, and this young teacher in the class was doing a hand movement, and she'd hold up on one side, she'd say, "I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old robe," and then she'd hold up the other hand, "and I put on the new," and then she, the old robe, she'd have her nose like it stunk, you know. "The old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn," and then she'd hold the other one up with her beautiful face. "The new robe was spotless, had never been worn." Then she went on through it, and for the first time, from the nightmares I had, from everything that took place, for the first time, I knew I was special. God loved me. I was not a throwaway. I knew it. Did I live for God at that point? No, I did not. But the seed was sown deep within me. And then God was going to send others to bring into my life, to water it and nurture it. And there would be that time that I would be in a church. And I knew God was calling me. I had to go home to really yield to God. But when I did, God got the increase 100%. I told him as I was praying that day, "I can't do this, Lord. I can't." He said, "I know. I know you can't. That's why I'm doing it for you." Oh, I feel if you are listening anytime to this book, to this story, feel you're left out, you don't fit, everything's out of the way, God is right there, right now, wherever you are, with all of the love that you could ever hope for, and he will take you every step of the way. Oh, he is such a wonderful God. So it's a simple thought in that little song, but it's absolutely true. That's what he does, and that's what he wants to do. We know that things that happen to children definitely have an impact. We have a lady in our church named Casey Johnies. She gives her testimony. She works for a doctor. She works in a recovery unit. She preached 3 times this past week. I'm working with her daughter, and her daughter's in Christian school. And it's the stories that she can share of the abuse from the time she can earliest memories, everything that she has gone through. But yet she knows that God is with her and using her and wants to use her to help others be set free. George Washington Carver said that fear is the root of all hate for others. Hear that? Just what I went through a trial this past 2 weeks. It wasn't fear for me. It was fear for others, but it was fear. It is the root of all hate for others. And hate will eventually destroy the hater. That was me. His journey was extraordinary. Though born a slave, by the end of his life, presidents and corporate titans valued his friendship. Millions of Americans benefited from his innovations. His scientific genius, legendary. But less known is his remarkable path to greatness, defined by a lifelong passion for serving others. I highly recommend his book, George Washington Carver, An Uncommon Way, narrated by Dr. Bodie Baucom. George Washington Carver's 8 cardinal values and virtues. Number 1, be clean, both inside and out. Number 2, neither look up to the rich nor down on the poor. Number 3, lose if it need be without squealing. That's a good one. Number 4, win without bragging. 5, always be considerate of women, children, and older people. 6, be too brave to lie. Now, I went down through all of these for myself. And it's amazing that why would you connect braveness to lying? Because sometimes we don't even want to admit to ourselves something that we need to bring to God, admit it, be cleansed from it, and to be brave to use it as truth. Be too generous to cheat and take your share of the world. Take it, but let others take their share and be thankful for it. So I thought that was a lot that I could share with you. We've been going on for the full hour. 13 will be going in circles, which will definitely go along with our little woolly worm, but it also goes along to my life in a lot of situations. I pray that you enjoyed this little glimpse into this wonderful man. Lord, I want to end this chapter knowing that you know all things. Lord, lead and guide those that can be blessed by this marvelous testimony that we can all identify with. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So now, Sister Starla, we are back to you.
That was awesome. And I do. I also enjoy biographies, and he is one of my favorites. He was just amazing. And I think it was you that told me that he woke up every morning and asked the Lord, what would he have him do this day? And I don't know, that he has an incredible testimony, and I think it's awesome.
That's in the book, too. If I didn't mention it, it says he began each day with an earnest prayer. He wanted God to reveal the secrets that would help him to be good for the work of God, you know, to enable him to be what God had called him to be. Thank you for bringing that out again, because that is really good. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to open up and invite whoever would like to ask a question or make a comment. Just push one on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. No takers? Well, Blog Talk Mom, you're going to have to talk some more. Oh, we got some. Wow.
Okay.
Okay. 7189, you're on the air.
Good evening. This is Susan. I did enjoy that chapter. I appreciate you sharing that with us. You know, I appreciate how you blend your own personal experiences of hurt and pain in childhood to, you know, to reach out to others with the hope of what God can do to heal. We often think about God's healing being physical, and that's a glorious, beautiful thing that he does. But so many people today, more and more, need to hear about that healing of the heart and the spirit. And the advice to forgive, but to let God heal, and the story of how his spirit healed you. Just very encouraging. I know there are a lot of people that need to hear that and receive it. Appreciate it.
Well, I want to say this to you, Sister Susan, and, you know, this is, you're really an authority in these things. And, you know, we've spoken about some things, my personal things, in the last couple of weeks. And you helped me tremendously. I was, you know, being 82, that's 80 years from situations that were coming up before me, and fear again. And, you know, like, I don't know, but you were, God mightily sent you to counsel with me. And I'm saying that to compliment you. I'm also saying that if people are listening, go to someone that believes in God, then let them help you through some things, because we get our feelings overwhelm our trust and our faith in the Lord at times. And someone agreeing with us, sharing scripture like Sister Susan did, and pointing out something that I hadn't even considered. One of them is that the Bible tells us to be rooted and grounded in the Lord and in his word. Well, I thought I understood that. No, that has, being rooted and grounded is a whole lot what George Washington Carver was bringing out. There's a time, there's a season, there's all kinds of things in our life that we have to rest. We have to totally rest. Rest on the Lord. That doesn't mean go fishing and forget church. That means trust. Just absolutely trust him with all of our heart and let him lift us up and renew us. So thank you for, if you want to share any of that right now, I would love you to just share whatever's on your heart, Sister Susan.
Well, you know, I think we can't deny that there's a reality to wounds, and there can be a depth of wounds, and, you know, the thing that you shared about how the vine can wrap around a twig or a young sapling and cause it to grow in an abnormal way. And, you know, the enemy, as you said, doesn't wait till we're adults to fight us. And he, you know, he has definitely attacked way too many children in ways that bring shame to their lives, as you've talked about in an earlier chapter. And, you know, can just make us feel like we weren't meant to really fully participate in the world. And, you know, we see other people that seem to be successful and, you know, enjoying life and all the things. And we feel like, well, that just must be for them and not for us. But not realizing, you know, that those wounds have has caused us to respond socially in an abnormal way. You know, but there is healing from God, and I don't think you would disagree with this. I believe you've echoed it. But, you know, when we're physically sick, we don't mind saying, well, I went to the doctor, you know, I was having chest pains or I was having this or that. But when we recognize that there's an emotional wound, you know, we get a different response when we say that we went to get help for that. You know, I personally have sought counseling in the last little while, just, you know, dealing with some personal losses, lost my mom a few months ago, and just the type of work that I do and the helping profession with elderly people and people and going into nursing homes and that sort of thing, it just felt like it was so close, you know, to me, to that loss, I wasn't sure that I could do it effectively. And this person just helped me, you know, talk through some things and see some things and make some good decisions. You know, you're right, you do have to choose carefully, and the best choice is someone who knows this truth, and there are some, you know, who can share with you from the Word as well as from their knowledge, you know, from their education. But it's not a bad thing to let someone help you understand, you know, that some of your responses are coming from wounds, and to help you look into that and heal it. But we do understand that God is the author of the healing. And I can testify to many times I've been to an altar and in the midst of a Holy Ghost move at the end of a service, God dropped something in my heart that he was helping me heal from right then that I had not even maybe thought of in a long time, but God saw it and reached down and healed it, you know, just by his word and his power. So he is the ultimate author of all healing, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, and we glorify him for that. But your bringing this out is very needful.
Yes, in 2 Samuel 22:29, this is also in the book, it says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." I mean, we, like you said, you were at the altar, and I've been in situations like that where I was, it's a type of struggle, but it's really bringing something to the surface that's going to make us happier. It's going to make, it's a good thing, but it doesn't always feel, especially if there's fear, and, you know, the acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. And we can have, it'll, you know, there'll be this situation that I'm working on with the help of the Lord. I just jumped to the conclusion that because the evidence was one way, that I needed to respond in a certain way. Well, no, the jump into conclusion was not the way God wanted me to handle it at all. He wanted me to jump in my prayer closet and make it faster. There's a list that I love books with little lists and things. That's part of my whatever. But five things to remember each day. You can say, number one, I am loved by God. Number two, I am valuable. Number three, I will speak with love. Number four, I am strong and I am capable. Why? Because I belong to God. Five, I believe that God wants the very best for me. So even though it doesn't seem like it, look like it, feel like it, our trust is in the fact that God wants the very best. And George Washington Carver believe that with all of his being, that he trusted God. It was just amazing. And I love that slave owner's family for taking him in, and the mother, because the mother, you know, never was found. But I think her name was Mary. The mother was Mary. I don't recall the lady that, wish I could think of her. But anyway, she taught him to read and taught him, you know, led him to the Word of God. Isn't that awesome that God put something like that in his life? That's so beautiful. Absolutely. And please, everybody, read it, because it's so good. Oh, is there something else? I'm sorry, I just jumped right in there. That's another thing I'm studying right now again is different patterns of speech. My sister Starla and I talked about it. There's pointers and painters, and if we're not careful, we will continually interrupt each other, you know, not meaning to. It's our little pattern. And I don't know what to do about it. I guess you just have to pray and try to make it smooth and whatever. And where is Brother Wild Bill?
You waiting on me? You backing up?
All right.
How you guys doing? I was really enjoying what you guys were saying. A lot of this stuff, men and women process things way so much different. Of course, Starla tells me all the time that I told her I wish she could be in my mind to see what I'm trying to say sometimes. And she says she thinks that would be a horrible place to be in my mind and see how I think about things. I think sometimes that women try to take the scripture where it's talking about as a man thinketh, so is he, and they want to say as a man's wife thinketh, so he should be. But it's funny how we look at things different, control, value systems, trying to get picture of things. So many of the things that you were talking about, life experience, I can feel sympathy for, but I can't comprehend because I was never a little girl. And I was never abused, you know, to the things that you were talking about. I think sometimes people, I hear them talking about their mom and dad whipped them real hard and everything. Well, I can tell you that's not abuse. The Bible says, beat them, for they shall not surely die. And I'm telling you, there was times in my life that after a good whipping, I felt a whole lot better afterwards. It cleared the air, and it was just one of those things that you knew that situation was dealt with and over, and it was kind of like a fresh start thing to go again. But it's not surprising that Satan is always going to go after children, people that are weak in some way, see people are struggling, people that are hurting, people that are damaged, because the Bible tells us he's like a roaring lion, and he's going to seek who he can devour. And if you look in nature, the lion, you see a lot of times it's going after a baby elephant or a baby water buffalo or an injured animal or an old animal, someone that's gotten off by itself away from the herd. And one of my favorite videos is where this lion's after a water buffalo, and a lion can kill a water buffalo, but he's got to be very careful. The buffalo has powerful horns. It weighs several thousand pounds. It can kick. It can stomp. It's got to be just very careful about how it goes about attacking a water buffalo. And there was a video on YouTube where it showed this water buffalo was just at the end of his rope. He had one that was on his back hanging onto his neck, and there were several around his legs. But all of a sudden, here come the herd of buffalo. And all of a sudden, the lions were like gone. They were out of there. And so it's so important to realize we're not in this alone, and that we need to seek to not put ourselves away from other people. Say, well, they don't understand, they can't comprehend. Maybe it's a guy thing, or it's a pride thing, or it's a hurt thing. You can't even really face yourself. The thing to do is to be around other brothers and sisters that love you and care about you and are invested in the same things that you're invested into. Because in doing that, the enemy all of a sudden loses what he thought was the advantage that he had. And many times he will turn away. You may not within yourself realize the greater is he's within you than he's in the world at times. And you feel so defeated, and you get to thinking that. And as the more you think it, the more defeated you become. But it's just so important to realize that in that reaching out to other people, like you guys were talking about, you can't lose. And the other part of this is the Bible says God knows the plan that he has for us. So instead of having this thing of going to 25 different people and asking them, now speaking, this is what I did when I was younger. I went to like 25 different people and asked them in situations what I should do. And when I got the answer that best fit what I wanted to do, that was the one that I chose. And an amazing thing happened in that. The 24 other people say, see, I told you should have done this. And the one that advised you to do that all of a sudden disappeared. They were nowhere to be seen. Their voice was silent. And so not just do you have to deal with the consequences of things in your life, but you need to be accountable to who you listen to. And if God says he knows the plans that he has for us, then why in the world will we go and ask somebody else? Why don't we seek his face? Why don't we ask him, God, what is the plan you have for my life? What is it you want me to do? You know, what doors do you want me to go through, and which doors do you not? And then ask him, you know, say, you know, Lord, I'm kind of dumb, so please, you know, this is me talking about me again. You know, help Bill, you know, Lord, please shut and lock the doors that I'm not supposed to go through. And, Lord, open the doors that I'm to go through, and I go through that door. Because without doing that, it's real easy just to come up to a door and force your way through, and then you don't ever know what's on the other side of that door until you get over there. They say hindsight is 20/20. We don't have hindsight to go forward and look at things to see how it's going to play out. And even with the best laid plans that people have had in life, I've seen professionals. When I was a police officer, there's this one man, he was one of the most successful people in White County. He had made more money, had more property, had done more great things and achievement from nothing of anybody in that county. And then one day, one decision, one investment turned completely everything upside down, and then it started a transition process of him getting desperate, investing bigger and heavier into things, and nobody knew. He didn't tell his family. He didn't tell anybody. He had the biggest house in town. His kids drove brand-new sports cars. He got a new Cadillac every year. I mean, they had the best of what there was to have. But then one day I got a call of someone seeing someone that was standing out in the woods back towards the back of this man's property looking towards their house, and they were scared and didn't know what it was. And we went out there and found that this man had hung himself. And so what they thought was someone standing out there was where this man had hung himself, and the rope had stretched out. You say, that's a horrible story. But see, Satan is cruel, and he don't care anything about you at all. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And when you get to thinking that you got all this stuff on yourself and you don't have anybody else you can turn to, you're going to make desperate choices and desperate situations worse than what they really are. Because through God, the worst thing that could ever happen to you, God could turn it around and make it your biggest blessing. And only God can do that. So I hope I haven't taken us too far out into deep space there, Blog Talk Mom, but that's what I had for you guys tonight.
I love it. I love the balance of it. And because we're all saying parts of the tapestry and, you know, bringing it out, and it's beautiful. And I understand that we have to be very cautious who we go to for anything as far as counseling. But even as we do it, we want to make sure that it's led by the Spirit of God. And like with my situation with Sister Susan, I know that she was brought into the situation by the Lord, because it was just, you know, we don't attend the same services, same church, don't live in the same area. And it was just perfect. So I am very thankful, and I'm thankful for what you said, because I try to be cautious. And another thing, like what you were saying, when we share too many things or almost anything in the wrong way, we can give the devil a real opportunity to make something, destroy people and do all kinds of stuff. And so, yes, that was a good balance. I appreciate that. And I appreciate everything. I wanted to mention, I don't think Sister Sandra could be here tonight, but I didn't go to the jail service because of a physical thing that's going on right now. As she shared with me about it, and Sister Hilda, who also went, it was just beautiful. And I love these. And of course, Sister Sandra's not really quite as old. And of course, nobody's old as I am, but they went on, pressed in, and played the accordion and music, and prayed for especially the new ones that come in. They're so frightened, and you know, they need to be focused and directed. So I know she has to rest, But I do love everybody, all the workers and all the ones God, they're my sisters. We're a family. So sisters, Starla, what you got else to say?
Oh, I've just been wrapping it up. I was just enjoying what everybody has to add. Bob Top Mom, do you have anything else?
There was Wild a scripture Bill? That story goes with
oh.
this. Go ahead, Wild Bill.
No, I was just going to say I want to make it clear. I wasn't telling people they shouldn't get wise counsel from people. I'm just saying, though, as a daily thing, we should always ask God, you know, as we saw from what he did with the peanut and plants and things. You know, he went to God every day to start his day. And if we
Amen.
Start that practice and make that a habit of our life, so many things would never get to the point of causing problems. But you're always going to need somebody that is either professional or someone that's in a position of authority and love in your church, or like you've run across here with someone in another church that has the experience that, you know, God sent them to you for this situation. You should never, ever refuse taking wise counsel from someone. And you can tell it's wise counsel because it will always measure up to the Word of God. And you can always tell wise counsel from how the people live. I would not want to go to the bar and ask the bartender what he thought I should do with the situation. Not because he hadn't probably seen a little bit of everything, but because he may not know God like I know. And God, like I said before, he's the only one that can take a situation, no matter how desperate it is, and turn it into a blessing for us. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You didn't interrupt. That's good. I think we're just bringing out, you know, like a buffet of everything. I love it. And I wanted to read these three scriptures quickly because with the physical part, that a lot of times when you're going through a physical, and this has been brought out, and you're hurting, or there's other things that can sort of, I guess, discourage you or whatever. And the Word of God is still there, but when you have somebody come alongside, it is so... oh, so encouraging. But anyway, in Luke 13:11-13, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. And notice, a spirit of infirmity. And she had it 18 years. And she was bowed together and couldn't even lift herself up. She could not. She couldn't lift up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That's the same God we serve. He knows when we're bowed down with a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of whatever. And he says, he sees us. And when we go to him, he's going to set us free. We are loosed. Woo! I love that. So just want to end it on that note tonight. And Sister Susan, did you have anything else?
I would just, I did think as you and Brother Bill were talking just now, you know, God not only heals, and, you know, it's hard to understand why the hurts happen to start with and why some of them are so hideous. And to me, childhood molestation is one of the most hideous ever. But God not only heals, but we've seen over and over again how once he's healed, he uses that person not in spite of their hurts, but because of and with their hurts that have been healed. It's like a seed that has been planted, and it blossoms out to become something fruitful and that can bless other people and hear the heart of people in a way that no one else can. And it reaches into the heart of other hurting people. And God intends that. He means for his people to reach other people. No man's an island. We're not to just be to ourselves. But, you know, I encourage anyone listening, if you have hurt that's not healed, know that God wants to heal it. But not only that, he will use you to be a reacher of others who are hurt. And you can do it through God in a way that nobody else can do it. Like Brother Bill mentioned, the bartender, a lot of people go to the bartender, the hairdresser, you know, to talk about their problems, and they no doubt have some wisdom. But a healed person full of the Holy Ghost can be a blessing to many, many, and God wants to do that for anybody that's hurting tonight.
Amen. That is so beautiful. I love that. I love the Lord. He's just so, to let me be able to do this book right now, and for, I cannot tell in words how grateful I am. And Ma Bill, you and Sister Darla, with all you go through to allow me to do it, it's just, I thank you, thank you, thank you. And you're wonderful.
Well, thank you, Love Talk Mom. We so appreciate you doing this. I am grateful.
We could do this every night. But it's just the fellowship and the camaraderie and the agreement and then sharing it with this background of this wonderful man, because really most people don't have a clue who it is. So we're introducing a beautiful testimony and story and encouraging story that can be shared. And so we will pray over that. I do want to say one thing. We've been praying for a wonderful, wonderful lady in our church, and they had came to her and said that she had cancer. It was in fourth stage, whatever. So she texted me yesterday, and they had made a mistake and put the wrong file in her file, that she doesn't even have cancer. And I just
God.
Thought, isn't that awesome? But it is awesome, but it's also an illustration. Satan can come and you know, give us a lie. You know, that was just a lie. It was a mistake. It wasn't done maliciously. But we've got to realize we've got the truth, you know, and hold on to it with all of our heart and hope in it. And so, anyway, I know I got a hush, but I love y'all and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom. We want to thank all of our listeners for being with us each week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.